Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I went up, I learned. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winnings a turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Bacella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Jake Trowbridge, and I might have thrice of a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 339 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And we will. And we just started so fancifully with the word thrice that I don't know how to recover from that. Where, like,
it's all downhill from here.
It is.
Can I tell you, it's not even like a fancy grammatical thing. There was just this concert that happened recently, which was like all the emo bands from my youth. And one of those bands is named Thrice. So yeah. I can't even take for the fanciness.
It doesn't need to be even have been on purpose. It happens, and that's all that really matters. You know, it's we now live in a world where that happened. But let's
glad if it could bring it in.
Yeah. But speaking of, let's bring it back in. Let's bring it back in. Before we get going on to the news to start us crying again, why don't you remind everyone, because Jake has been on this show many, many times over the many, many years we've been going on. Well, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
Sure. I'm Jake Trowbridge. You can find me over on Twitter at Jake Trowbridge. I'm on Instagram at a different handle that I can't recall, and TikTok at yet another handle that I can't recall. But I do work for Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life, and I know you can find me over on that TikTok at MB Fantasy Life. Doing some live streams, putting out some video content, and whatnot.
Need to tighten up them socials. You got to start bribing people so you can get your
get those plugs in there.
I know. And it's just my name. Let me have it. My name. Give it to me. But
there's like a 75-year-old big
troll. Really aren't as important as you. So. Yeah.
That's just too kind of you and most likely not true. But I will pretend it is, at least for the duration of the show.
The truth is it's some 75-year-old guy who signed up once, never used it, and it's been 16 years, and they just won't deactivate the account.
Yep.
It's the worst. I don't know.
All right, so we ready for this? Are we ready for the news? Frank has a quote-unquote work function. I was about to just do the air quotes with my hands, and I realized that this is an audio podcast. So even though I'm using very strongly italicized words and it's very sarcastic sounding, I felt the need. All right, this is getting annoying for even me. Still had to say out loud that I was doing air quotes. But yeah, Frank's a little busy, so he can't read the news. So I'm going to read it. So let's just go. Headline of the week. Oh, there's three headlines, but this one still says headline of the week. So headline of the week for the Niners. Boy, this is a lot. Brandon Ayuk torn ACL and MCL out for the season, plus a lot more. In terms of what's left, Debo has pneumonia and fluid in his lungs, which explains the goose egg I got, even though I still be Rocky in SFP.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah, Ricky Pearsall came back this week, which was fantastic. Jacob Cowing had a huge game, and Juwan Jennings should be back next week or after the bye. What are you offering for Debo now? What are you offering for Ayuk? Any other Niners pass catchers, including Kittle, you are buying? Foreshadow alert on that one. For context, they have Dallas, then they're bye, and then CMC is rumored to be back. So we're getting very close to almost having normal 49ers offense. So let's take a first step, and let's talk about Ayuk, because this is really about Ayuk. I guess, Jake, how many leagues are you in, Dynasty Leagues?
Oh, no. It is now It's actually, I tightened it up. I'm down to a tight 11.
Okay, that's cute. That's
thanks for not being condescending about it.
It's appreciate it, Russ. It's a good size. Have you seen any Ayuk deals since the game?
In your league? Yes. I literally saw just a 1-for-1 trade that just happened today. And let me pull it up so I don't get this incorrect here. It was Brandon Ayuk traded for, hold please.
Oh man, you are such a pro.
Traded for Drake London.
What? Yes. What?
Drake London and Brandon Ayuk straight up. You know that eyeball emoji that it lets you do in Sleeper app?
Yeah.
You know that there was 10 sets of those almost immediately on that trade result?
What's so funny was I sent that to Rocky. I had to have added something on
you
my side.
You did add a second.
And really he was just like, there's that. No way I'm doing that.
You offered me incredible. Ayuk in a second for London, yeah.
This is the trade that I walked into you two discussing then before I hopped on. That's hilarious. Well, you're in good company at least, Russ. But no, there was nothing added to that side. The person who is rebuilding went ahead and got Ayuk. I guess they just don't like Drake London long term. I think it's outrageous. I think anybody of that caliber, like if I'd seen Chris Olave straight up, I still wouldn't have liked it, but I would have understood it a bit more because I'm a little lower on Chris Olave. But
you and me,
feels like the 1-for-1s of Brandon Ayuk just have to be super tricky right now. I can't think of a really quality just 1-for-1. I think it has to work in some picks.
And it's actually the same exact scenario where I'm rebuilding and he tried to send me Ayuk in the second. And I still didn't want to do it because I'd still rather have London long term.
Yeah, and London's young. The offers I've been receiving, it's really weird. Twice I've received my share of Ayuk for Amari Cooper plus garbage. Like one of them was Chiga Conquo. Like, and I get it. Amari Cooper is good. Amari Cooper is now on a very good team. And he had his first game being on the team in 3 days and did really well. But I still have to believe Ayuk is worth more than that. Because in my mind, Amari Cooper's not worth the first. Brandon Ayuk is worth a first, even with the injury. And like, I couldn't bring myself to accept those. I mean, there's plenty of time before next week's game starts. It's only Tuesday, so that goes till Thursday. Okay, that's not a lot of time. But, you know, there's time before I really need to come to terms with my saying no to that. But like right now, I can't really just do Brandon Ayuk for Amari Cooper.
I wouldn't.
Thank you. Yeah, I really do appreciate the confirmation bias. Thank you.
It's tough to figure out the value there. Like, I, you know, before this, he was definitely worth a first. Maybe a little more, but I guess with the slow start, maybe not. But yeah, I don't want to trade him for a second now, even with him being out for the year if I roster him. But I don't know that people are going to want to pay more than, like, maybe a couple seconds value, which just sounds close to what you were getting. Like, I think Cooper's maybe a second, and Cooper and Junk, so... Yeah.
This is what I worry about with Brandon Ayuk, because I, in my desperate rebuild dynasty league, was like, well, bring on another injured guy. I'll take him on. And I just couldn't get myself to push even the send button on any trade offers, because I know he's only 26, but it is an ACL and MCL. And like, I worry it happened midseason. So am I stashing him for a year and a half before he's up to speed? And then when he's up to speed, now you're going to be 28 years old. Am I going to be in a position that I still want a 28-year-old at that freshly off a rebuilding type of team? I don't know. It's a weird situation for Ayuk, and I don't have any answer on this guy.
Yeah, like I'm with you on that being worried part. Like there's two people so far that have asked me about Ayuk trades, and both of them were getting Ayuk in a package. And I was just like, look, if you want to take this deal, the value's good, but I would honestly try and flip Ayuk before the season ends to another rebuilding team. Like, try and keep that moving, because I'm a little afraid of being stuck with Ayuk, because I get it. He didn't practice. There was no preseason for him. But like, that offense was up and down and not going his way. There was literally one game where he looked even decent.
Yeah.
And I don't get it, because Ayuk is insanely talented, and he and Purdy have had a good repartee with each other. But it just seemed to not matter at all this season, and that scared me. But he's good. Like, I think I'm overreacting, but I've become more and more risk averse in my old age that I don't want to deal with it. I think it's really like that's fear sitting on my bench. And if I'm rebuilding, I don't really want fear.
Yeah.
Does anything massively change of you for either of you value wise with the remaining 49ers with Debo or Kittle? Like, does this clearly it boosts them a little, but like, does it boost them? Like, are you dying to have them on your competing teams? Are you giving up? You probably have to give up a first for Debo. Maybe you have to give up a first for Kittle, but like, are you willing to go do these now?
I think so, especially with Kittle. I mean, he's already been doing it with the other guys there, and I think this only boosts it, like you said, boosts him up even more. Most of the leagues I think all three of us play in are tight end premium, some heavy tight end premium. So I already liked Kittle because, you know, the start he's had to the year, obviously. But with one of those three guys out of the mix for the rest of the year, I like him even more. And my biggest issue with Kittle has always been consistency. And he actually was kind of already being consistent this year. And I don't see how he's not with Ayuk out the rest of the year.
Yeah, I do like me some George. I think I'm even more interested in Debo, though, honestly, for this. So I would probably be open to sending a first as long as I got just a little bit of extra sweetener back on top of Debo. If I really do feel like he's the guy that's going to put me over the top, because I do think that top 12 rest of the season is so easily within reach. I'm also just skeptical with CMC's return too. Like, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yes.
Kind of deal.
Yeah.
Just seems like that keeps getting pushed down the road maybe a little bit. And Shanahan does not have the most trustworthiness in this regard when he speaks of his players' health sometimes. So with all that, I do think that I really want Debo. And certainly for the rest of this season, I'm in.
Yeah, and Herms is in the chat saying Pierce all time, though. I really do think that this is probably the deepest that team, again, when Juwan Jennings gets healthy, Ricky Pearsall's probably still working his way back in. Like, there's a chance losing Ayuk isn't the death knell losing Ayuk may have normally been in the past for the 49ers. And that's good for football and for fantasy. I don't necessarily care about the Niners, so it doesn't really... All you Niners fans should be a little happy, I guess. So headline number two for the Bucks: Chris Godwin has a dislocated ankle, which sounds awful, and is out indefinitely. This is the same injury that Dak had a few years ago. I don't remember how much time Dak had, but man, I don't know which is having to cut using your ankle or to plant and throw. I'm not sure which is worse at that point. Mike Evans has a hamstring injury, which Rappaport says will keep him out until after the week 11 bye. So for contending teams that are inevitably destroyed right now, how do you fix this? Panic. That's, and then he just asks a lot of what do I do now questions, but we'll get to that in a bit. I can't imagine there's anyone on the Buccaneers, which you're all excited about now, which is killing me because I've been talking up Baker Mayfield so heavily in the past few weeks, and now he has no one to throw to. Like,
honestly, I'm excited for the running backs, though, who have proven to be like decent pass catching weapons, both Bucky.
They were Irving a big part of that garbage time last night. Yeah.
Rashad White. So I think you're like, yeah, talking about just pure wide receivers. Yeah. I don't go, ooh, Sterling Shepard, gotta have.
No problem,
but I do think it kind of propels those other two guys up, at least.
Yeah, that's
Bucky season, baby.
Bucky season, baby. I am distraught over my many Baker Mayfield shares at this point. Both of them in 1 week, no less.
Yeah, it's insane.
All right.
And Godwin shouldn't have even been playing when he got hurt. It was like the last minute.
That always is like, ugh. The Rams. Puka had his window opened today, which means it's Puka time within the next 21 days. Yes. Cooper Kupp expected to be back this Thursday versus Minnesota, but could be on a snap count. But then there's all these rumors of Cooper Kupp being traded, in which case, if there's real trade talks, you can't really picture him playing this week because that feels like superfluous risk injury. All right, well, nothing has changed for Puka. Puka is good. Puka's value hasn't changed. He's coming back now. His value isn't going up because it never really super went down. But, like,
yeah.
Are we taking Cooper Kupp stuff seriously to the point where maybe we go buy him in hopes he gets moved? Like, is there any Cooper Kupp excitement right now for either of you? Herm's in the chat saying, Kupp to Steelers, please. Homer? Okay.
Classic.
I mean, excitement would be strong for me. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not paying it first for Cooper Kupp or anything. But if I can get him cheap because he hasn't been doing anything and we're not sure where he's going to be, sure. But, yeah, I mean, I think he still will produce. And even if he goes to, say, a Pittsburgh, I think he can produce with Russell Wilson. So, I'm not as sure about Fields, but yeah, I mean, I have interest, but I'm not, I wouldn't say I'm excited.
I guess I really struggle, as we do this every time, that a big name receiver comes open to possibly being traded and we go, what's the ideal landing spot for him? I look around and I don't know that there's a better landing spot than what he's coming from with Stafford and the Rams, just the way that the offense is orchestrated, what Stafford does for his receivers just straight up. I mean, even if we went to the top of the heap, so Chiefs, again, all right, let's get the Chiefs of wide receiver. Is he going to thrive in that offense like he did with the Rams? I don't think so. I mean, it would just give them another, you know, stone in their gauntlet to go get another Super Bowl. But again, I don't care about them for real life purposes. So I think I'm out on Cooper Kupp, and I might actually take the flip side if I'm rostering him, use this as a hype window to go ahead and trade him off.
Are you accepting less than a first for Cooper Kupp? Like, would you take 2 seconds? Of course, not just picks, but like the value of 2 seconds right now.
He's 32, two, you know, back-to-back pretty severe injuries. I think I'd be okay with it. Two seconds.
I think you kind of have to at this point, right?
I don't think you can get much more than that, yeah.
Yeah. So I think the two places – I think the place I really want wide receiver – that's a lie. I don't want wide receivers to go to Washington because I've decided I want T. Higgins to go to Washington next year in free agency because Jaden Daniels. That's literally the only reason. Like, I've grown to convince myself that I like the Washington jerseys enough that when it happens, like, it'll go right here on the wall and I'll be okay with it.
Beautiful.
But I really am buying all into Jaden Daniels, so T. Higgins in Washington. But that's another a place that I think would be a good landing spot. Plus, we still talk about the Cowboys looking for, even though Jarrus said they're not doing anything. All right, so let's read through all of these, and we'll go back and talk with there's stuff we think we need to talk about. Actually, that's a lie. We're going to talk about this first one, then I'm going to ask a question. Deshaun Watson tore his Achilles. DTR came in for him in the game and then got hurt. Then Jameis came in. Oh, it says Jameis will be the starter for Week 8. Do you think Jameis starts the rest of the year, or do you think if Dorian Thompson Robinson, that's his full name, right? Because he hurt his finger in his throwing hand and said he couldn't grip the ball. Like, do you think Jameis holds on to this job? And if so, do you think he's worth trading for, even though you probably, what, 2/3 gets you Jameis Winston?
I don't know if he holds on to it because he's certainly capable of throwing a lot of picks. But I did see one of the tweets that came out about him starting this week said that I saw, I forget who it was, but it was somebody reputable, that DTR was kind of game plan specific backup or something is the way they worded it, and that the intention is to go with Jameis going forward. So I don't think it's just an injury thing, but I certainly think it's possible Jameis comes out and throws 9 interceptions over the next 3 weeks and maybe is not the starter a month from now just for that reason alone. But I can't get too excited because he's throwing to, you know, Jerry Jeudy and Elijah Moore, who we loved both of them once upon a time, but it's not been great the last couple of years. So,
and David Njoku, that really beautiful back end of the touchdown jump high point was, oof, that was chef's kiss.
But you got to think he's going to be better than Watson has been the last year or so. So at least maybe there's a little hope there, like you said, for Njoku and maybe one of the those wide receivers.
Do you have any warm and glowies about Jameis?
Warm and glowies, no. He is yeah. relatively young for a quarterback, at least. I mean, I think he is just 30. Like, that's a respectable age for anybody. So to give up a couple of thirds for Jameis and Dynasty, I don't have any qualms with that necessarily. I'm a little more skeptical of what Jameis's own fantasy relevance is going to be, even if he does hold on to it. Because, like, I know I think Jameis Winston, and I think that 30 for 30 touchdown interception season in Tampa, that was like 2018. That's long ago.
Say, if you were about to say that was 20 years ago, to be like, that probably was 20 years ago.
Feels like it. But, you know, that's with Arians. That's a totally different type of offense. So I think that's what people want. I'm not willing to say we're going to get anything close to that version of Jameis. But by default, he has to at least improve one of the receivers and David Njoku. So those guys I'm definitely going after pretty aggressively, specifically Njoku. The other ones I still don't think you have to send much for. Like Jerry Jeudy has just been cast off, though. So he's super cheap to acquire, at least. So I'm trying to just to see if he'll get a major boost.
Love it. All right, so okay. Tua expected to practice this week and possibly start this week. He was designated to return from IR on Monday. He said he will not be wearing a guardian cap. This man. Jaden Daniels did not fracture his ribs. Yes. And the injury is not considered serious, but his status is up in the air for this week. He plays the Bears, already a bad matchup. Please sit him. Yes. Let him sit. Like, that man's future is more important than one game. Let him sit. Let him rest. Let those ribs heal up. Daniel Jones will remain the Giants starter. Daboll said that he benched him on Sunday to, quote, try to get a spark.
Didn't work.
Don't know what spark he's looking for. O'Connell expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a broken thumb. That's rough. He was placed on IR and the Raiders signed Desmond Ridder. Woo! The woo was written in there with an exclamation point, just putting it out there that was not me. Alvin Kamara gets a 2-year, $25 million extension, keeps him on the Saints through 2026. David Montgomery, knee injury, not considered a long-term issue. Rashid Shaheed, meniscus surgery, placed on IR and out for the season. The Saints signed Marcus Valdes-Scantling.
Hurting SFB teams everywhere.
That Rashid injury was rough for... Jameson Williams, the name was too close and I just knew I wasn't going to do it right and I didn't. Jameson Williams, 2-game suspension for violating the NFL PE. I'm guessing that's supposed to say PED policy. Listener on the Lions pass catchers to come later. Okay, he even foreshadowed his own listener question later. Good job. DK Metcalf, grade 1 MCL sprain, considered week to week, but they say it's not serious. Their bye isn't until week 10. I'm good with week to week after their reaction for... I don't know if you guys saw this catch, which was a really nice catch, but then someone like just took his legs out from under him when he was in the air and he landed on his hip and leg and like he got up and tried to jog me and you see him shake his head no and you're just like oh no. But I'll take an MTL sprain at this point for that, for what I thought it was going to be. I'll take it.
That's not another season ending wide receiver injury. I think we can all celebrate that at least a little bit.
Right at this point. Is there anything in there that Jake, you want to go back to dynasty wise to talk about?
Dynasty wise, none of this really moves the needle for me outside of maybe possibly Alvin Kamara. It's a little shocking that they gave him a 2-year extension. I mean, mostly just because of his age. But it feels like this is a way for them to kick the can down the road more with the contract stuff. But I don't know. I was ready to write him off like 3 years ago, and I keep being wrong. So at this point, it feels like I'm more open to him actually being legit for at least another year after this.
Yeah, 2017 running backs have really ruined our age thing with running backs.
It's true.
Yeah, this isn't really dynasty-wise, but you know, we've talked about this. As a human being, he probably should not be playing. But for fantasy, thank God Tua's coming back.
Yes.
Because that has been a I'll just say crap show. I won't curse. Since he got hurt, and I mean Tyreek Hill has been pretty much unstartable. It's insane. So. I'm very scared for Tua to come back on a human level, but I'm happy on a fantasy level.
Yep. All right, so that is the news, and we're at the point where I ask our guest, hey, what do you want to do next? Do you want to do Trade Addicts trades or listener questions?
I want to get into these trades.
Yes, Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts leagues are 12 teams, super flex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage except for TA1, and there are no TA1 trades anyway. But we do jump to Trade Addicts 3, where Chris Olave and a 26th third was traded for George Pickens, Troy Franklin, and a 25th third. Now, I know that Rocky is not, and Olave is a great wide receiver guy. So, Jake, what are your Chris Olave feelings?
I was much like Rocky earlier on. And in fact, the places that I got him typically tended to be like redraft where he just fell too far. And I was like, this is stupid. I mean, even though I don't like him, I'm going to take him here. And I've slowly started to turn a corner, as you do when a guy happens to be on your roster. All of a sudden, you like him just a little bit more. But I really do think that Chris Olave is better off for fantasy, certainly without Shaheed this year. So in this case of this trade, it's still kind of a short-term outlook for me. Like Chris Olave this year, okay. I would rather have that value maybe absorbed and then try to flip him in the offseason. With George Pickens, I want to say that it's the George Pickens side for me. But if I could be guaranteed that Russell is for the rest of this year and that maybe they then extend Russell, I'd be into it with George Pickens, but I don't know that. And I know we're not supposed to do that in Dynasty with wide receivers, but we've seen what the worst of the worst looks like for George Pickens. And he can't rise above terrible quarterback play. That's not who he is as a wide receiver. That's not his type of wide receiving. So I am very nervous about that. So I think I would still hold the Olave side. I'm not strong on Troy Franklin either way. So he's just kind of throwing.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Jake here. I mean, to me, this trade is fine. I'm not super high on either guy. I don't think either guy, you know, I don't dislike either. You always say, just because I don't love him the way you do, that I'm super down on Olave.
It's a lot of fun at this point just to make it seem like you hate him because I like him more than you do.
Yeah, I mean, because at one point you had him at like two first plus kind of value, and I was never doing that for an Olave. So, I kind of see them similarly. Can I say that correctly? I think they're like peak is wide receiver twos. Like they're both wide receiver twos. I don't think either of them is ever going to be consistent wide receiver one. I agree with Jake though. I think just for the current value, and I just think Olave is still a bit more of a bigger name. So I think that alone is going to hold more value going forward. If you did want to flip either of them, and it's going to allow Olave to hold value throughout the year. And plus, Carr should be back soon. And like you said, Shaheed is out. So I think that's going to probably pump up his stats a little bit.
So this was a me trade. And this was hashtag for the content, hashtag oops, board trade. So I sent away Olave for Pickens, Franklin, and a third. I find myself liking George Pickens. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that he does pretty well with really bad to mediocre quarterback play. Like last year with names I don't even want to say out loud, but, you know, Pickett and Trubisky. And then the beginning of the year with Justin Fields, like he was still teetering on that pretty strong wide receiver two area. And it's just that hope of like, let that situation get better. Cause we see how quickly situations change. Like, in the past 6 months, you know, his situation has gotten better and better. And I'm with Jake where if it does stay Russell Wilson, it could get very good. Because I still believe that Russell Wilson is a very good quarterback. Not what he used to be, but still very good quarterback. Troy Franklin. So on Wednesdays on 9:30 on the Fantasy Cares YouTube channel, Zach Reed and myself do a live stream. And since it's on the Fantasy Cares YouTube channel, we talk about Scott Fishbowl a lot. And Scott Fishbowl gives a lot of points for return yardage. And as a, hey, thanks for stopping by on Wednesdays, I've been pulling some data. And I've been watching all of the games. Thank you, NFL Plus, for those condensed versions. So it's only 40 minutes and not 3 hours. Of all of the games and mapping out how many returnable kickoffs each team has kicked. While doing this, I've watched two or three Denver games. And I have been getting insanely strong Devonta Smith vibes from Troy Franklin. Not necessarily like game style, but more like when they bring in a wide receiver one, I think Troy Franklin is going to shine in the same way where I loved what I saw out of Devonta Smith, but knew they needed to bring an X in for him to really do his thing. Then A.J. Brown comes into town and Devonta Smith has been killing it ever since. Of course, except for not this week when he caught one ball for negative 2 yards.
But so you know you're not bitter about it, at least.
It comes with the territory.
It was the Saquon show this week.
Yeah, that was all. And just A.J. Brown being better than everyone else on the field. Like, that's just what happens. I've been trying to find ways to throw Troy Franklin into deals to get him as part of packages. And this just happened to be one of them. If this wasn't a Tuesday afternoon and I wasn't avoiding working, would I have done this trade? Or I sent it. I sent this and it was accepted as is. Would I have sent it? Probably not. But hashtag for the content.
That's not bad. Either way, I can't think look at either side either. And go like, this is atrocious. I think it's a completely fair trade.
And it didn't last very long anyway, because our good friend Brian Haar then sends me a trade in the same league of George Kittle and a 25 third for my newly acquired George Pickens. And again, it's Tuesday evening at this point. Brian's rebuilding and he's a Steelers fan, and George Kittle, we just talked about, you know, Ayuk is out and he's already like the tight end too. You know what? I probably think the value here leans Pickens a little bit, but I'm going to do it anyway, just for the sake of doing it. So that's what happens. I sent George Pickens, who was on my roster for maybe 40 to 50 minutes, and got George Kittle in a 25 third. What do you think about that, Jake?
He had the proverbial cup of coffee on your team before he goes next door. That's great. I like the short-term value, as we talked about, for George Kittle, obviously. But again, George Kittle is not ancient. I mean, for a tight end, at least. And I do think he'll have, you know, another 2 to 3 years of pretty intense productivity. So I don't hate it. I, again, have the same issues with trying to decipher George Pickens' future value. So George Kittle at least feels like the more solid guy. So I think it'll be more consistent in that way. So I don't hate it.
Yeah, I like it a lot for your contending team in that league. And I was just Kittle is, and we talked about it a little while ago, and I was talking about the consistency. He's been super consistent this year. He's got at least 17.5 points every week since week one that he played. Nice. And he's like head and shoulders, like above most of the league. He's at points per game in TA scoring 21.1. Bowers is at 19.5. No one else is over 16. Like, dang, that's significant. And that's a big add to a contending team. And like Jake said, I like Pickens okay, but I don't know what to make of him either. So I'm perfectly fine doing that. I think it's I kind of love that trade for your team as I kind of looked at the numbers a little more. Kittle's – I think, like I said, with Ayuk, I think it's going to help him even more with Ayuk out. So I think it's a huge difference maker for a playoff team.
I'll take it. Yes. All right, so now we move on to Trade Addicts 5 and a not-me trade. A 2025 first for Terry McLaurin and Tyler Algier.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That Tyler Algier? we gotta veto this trade. That's too much on one side. If you're putting the Tyler Allgeier, I shouldn't give him guff because he is doing very well. This is, it feels a little short, kind of, on the picks side for this. I've never been the hugest Terry McLaurin fan, but with him now being tethered to Jaden Daniels and that rapport being so incredible, I would have expected to have to give up a lot more than a first to get him at this point. So I am very firmly on the McLaurin side, with or without Mr. Allgeier's assistance there.
I'm actually going to disagree a little with Jake on this one. I think it's actually, I think it's pretty fair that, like, McLaurin is older than a lot of people. Like, we've been saying this for years, that McLaurin is older than people think he is. He is 29 now.
Nine-ish, probably.
He just turned 29. So, but still, he's getting very close to that 30 range that the receivers might as well be dead at. So, And yeah, Allgeier is contributing a little, but I mean, I don't think he has a lot of trade value, even if he might have a little bit of flex value on your team. You know, Bijan's there. No one really cares about getting Allgeier on their roster. So, again, I don't think either side's like egregious. I think it's a perfectly fine trade. I don't know that I'm spending more than a first for McLaurin at his age. And he is doing well now with the Daniels there, but I don't think I can get myself to go over the first there for him. So maybe it's slightly like, maybe there should be a second or third thrown in there for Allgeier, but I think the first for McLaurin is pretty fair.
Yeah, well, it's funny. Emotionally, I agree with Jake, where to me McLaurin should be worth more than a first because I think he's that talented. And now, like, I don't remember where I saw it, but like there was a graphic that showed all of the quarterbacks he played with by year. And it was like nauseating to look at, like this poor, poor man. And now he gets Jaden Daniels. And it's just like, yeah, oh Jaden Daniels is hurt. But like, I feel like if there was even like two less years on McLaurin's history without those bad quarterbacks, he probably would be worth that much. But we've had so many years of his mediocre output because of atrocious quarterbacking that his value probably won't get that high because of his age. So like, to me, I agree, his talent should have, and what he's capable of has always should have put his value a little higher than it was. But I think if he finishes this season as a top 12 producing wide receiver, he probably still won't be worth more than a first because of just how used to being disappointed in Terry McLaurin we are.
Terry just paying for the sins of all those quarterbacks before him. You hate to see it.
You joke, but it's absolutely true. And that will be very good for a lot of competing teams when they can get Terry McLaurin for a lot cheaper than they should have to pay for that kind of production. And again, we joke about Tyler Allgeier, but if worst case scenario, he's like one of the premier handcuffs, like, so like getting him on your team isn't necessarily a bad move. Like, another thing I've seen from watching these games, like, we gripe about his usage, but the truth is he does look good when he gets the ball. Like, it's frustrating. You want him to be bad because you just want Bijan to get the ball, but he does well when he has it. It's awful. I hate it.
Stop being so good,
Tyler. Stop being good. Fail at your job, please, kid, sir, man. No, that's all. All right, but that is our last trade. So let's move on to our listener questions. The first one from Frank in the chat. What are you doing with these Lions pass catchers? The Lions are winning without being particularly pass heavy, and Goff is down around 10 pass attempts per game from last year, excluding the Tampa game where he threw 55 times. Laporta is the one who has been particularly disappointing. So, wait, Herms, what did I miss from today? What did you do? You definitely did do something. Oh, man, Herms made a trade.
I want to talk about Herms' trade.
That would be...
Tank, Bigsby. Oh, it was an Ayuk trade also. Tank, Bigsby, ooh, and Christian Watson for Blake Corum and Brandon Ayuk.
Tank and Christian Watson for Ayuk and who?
Blake Corum.
And Blake Corum. I think I'm going to be going on the side of, as much as I was kind of downplaying my nervousness with Brandon, I think I'm going to go with the Brandon Ayuk side there. As the resident Packer fan, I feel like, yes, I'm entitled to speak about Christian Watson here a little bit more boldly. Please. And I do think that we are doomed to living in the worst parts of Will Fuller's career with him, not the best parts of Will Fuller's career, which is what we all, I think, we're maybe hoping for with Christian Watson. Romeo Doubs is like the obvious hands guy. Jaden Reed is the more versatile slot, but also downfield threat. And Christian Watson does one thing, and he does it pretty good. But then there's Tucker Kraft, and then there's the running game. And it's just, I think, going to be very frustrating, and a frustrating endeavor with the Watson side, regardless. But I think it's too light to get Ayuk. I want the Ayuk side in that. I think that I'm firm in that.
Do you, real quick, do you think Bigsby's for real?
No. No, I don't. Not on that team.
I was just going to say, I don't love any running back in that offense because it's not a good offense right now.
Yeah.
Go ahead. And I was just going to say, I pretty much agree with Jake. I mean, it's tough, though, because like we talked about, it's hard to get like a great value for Ayuk. I feel like this is maybe about 2 seconds-ish in terms of value. I'm with Jake on Watson, too. I'm not a Packers fan, but I was a big Watson guy coming out. And I just think I'm kind of out on him at this point. I just don't ever see it really happening on a consistent basis, which I think is kind of what Jake was saying. Watson doesn't do much for me. And Herms even said in the chat, he's not a Watson fan either, but he is a big Bigsby guy. So if Bigsby leaves that team, between, ETN being there when he's healthy and Doug Peterson not running a great offense there, and Trevor Lawrence, kind of never living up to the hype, I just don't see any big part of that offense being great, except maybe Evan Engram, because
Brian Lawrence, Thomas Jr.
Well, I guess you're right, Brian Thomas Jr. But even more reason why I don't think the backup running back is going to be great, though. So I do think he's still the backup once ETN.
That's my question: is he the backup? Because the last 3 weeks, he is points per game running back 9 with 19 points per game.
Yeah, I know he's been good.
I don't think he's the traditional backup on the offense, I feel like even if he is the majority shareholder of the backfield touches, I don't want that. He's had some nice game scripts, and maybe I am underestimating their ability to turn this around a little bit, and especially with Brian Thomas being there and looking good and Evan Engram coming back and looking good. Maybe they'll be in more positive game scripts, because with Tank Bigsby, it's like, well, I don't see you as this amazing pass catcher where, like, if you're trailing the entire game, they're going to trot you out, three downs and you'll make back your hay that way. So that's where I'm scared with Tank. But I mean, Brandon Ayuk could come back 2 years from now and just look terrible after the ACL, MCL. So honestly, it's not like it's the worst trade in the world here.
I think Bigsby has at least the rest of this season. Like, I think he has earned more than a decent share of this role, especially ETN has done nothing to really earn a lion's share of it. Bigsby has just looked better than ETN has. So I don't know, man. Christian Watson again, though, to put it out there, I just did look. The Packers have a really good wide receiver schedule for the rest of the season. There's two rough games, but the rest of it seems favorable. Again, you can't really depend on Watson, but as you're like, we start 10 players, like as your 10th starter, where it doesn't crush you if you get 4 points, but it'd be great when he gets 24. I like it. Like, do I wish it was someone else? Yeah. Does Herms wish it was someone else? Yeah. But it's not always the case. You can't always get what you want.
I was just going to say, I with Bigsby, he did have 26 carries this last game, which I don't think is going to happen very often. And he's also averaging almost 6 yards a carry on the season, which I also 6 yards per carry, which I don't think is really sustainable either. So that's another reason I find it hard.
You're such a hater, you have to go look at stats? Okay.
Just very service level stats, Russ.
Okay, no, that's fine. I get it. All right, so let's get back to Frank's question. What are we doing with Lions pass catchers? So I know you're a Packers guy, so at least they're in your division. So you have that inside angry scoop.
Boy, is it the angriest, too, with these fellas. I got a word or two to say about them. I do think that the big elephant in the room is, like, what is the short-term impact of Jameson Williams out for the couple of games? It's not going to fix anything long-term here, though, with what they're doing. And I don't think that what we've seen so far this year is, like, such an aberration where we go, oh, they're going to stop running as much as they do. Right? They're going to, or I should say, stop utilizing their running backs as much as they have been. Mm-hmm. Like, even if they're not running, like, Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be a main focal point of even the passing offense. So it's concerning to me that Sam LaPorta at this stage, does he even have a double-digit performance this year? It certainly doesn't feel like it if he notched one.
Well, and if he did, it's probably because he caught a 50-yard touchdown at one point. So, like,
He's got three double-digit games in TA scoring, which is 1.75 premium.
Okay.
But none of them is higher than 12.95. So in regular PPR, probably not.
Gross. Yeah, so I'm still – somebody was asking me the other day, like, hey, I've got three tight ends, and I want to move one of them. Who do I move? And it was Sam LaPorta, it was David Njoku, and it was Tucker Kraft. I'm like, I'd move Sam LaPorta. He's still going to pull in so much more based on his name value and obviously what he did last year. Like, you're going to get the most for him, and truly, in the short term at least, I trust those other two way more. So I have major trust issues with Sam LaPorta. I still have kind of trust issues with Amon-Ra St. Brown being like a consistent, you know, top five guy like he was drafted to be. I'm still a little nervous for him every time that I rely on him as my wide receiver one.
Yeah, Amon-Ra has been actually more consistent than I actually thought. I was just looking. He is wide receiver 8 in points per game. But yeah, I don't know what the hell is going on with LaPorta. Like, I drafted him in a redraft league this year super early, and he's just freaking killing me. But I don't understand it. I mean, he looks so – you never see a rookie tight end look that good. And he's just been non-existent this year. And I know there was some of the Jameson Williams stuff earlier, but it's not like they filled the same role. So, like, I just I don't know. I'd have to look. I don't know if – maybe Gibbs's targets are going up or Gibbs and Montgomery together's targets going up. Cause I know RB and tight end targets can correlate some. I just don't get it whatsoever. I get that their passing is down some, but from him to go where he was last year to where he was this year is just bonkers to me. And it's the first time I'm kind of glad I don't actually have a lot of LaPorta shares in Dynasty. But yeah, I still believe in Amon-Ra. Cause like I said, he's still basically producing. He doesn't have any like super huge games, but he's got like 420-ish point games. So I'm fine with him. I just don't know, like you said, that you can trust LaPorta. I do really like the idea because I think you can still sell the name. I'd be fine doing that. I'm not sure this is gonna. I was thinking earlier in the year, eventually he's just gonna start producing, and I'm starting to doubt that at this point.
Yeah, I'm with when I was sitting there listening to Jake talk about this guy asking about, I have these three tight ends, and I'm like, if you can get LaPorta value for LaPorta, even if he was scoring, I still feel like it's the right move. Because chances are he wasn't going to score like he was last year anyway. But like, yeah, he's not producing. And even if it does magically turn around, if it does turn around, it seemed like it's either A, going to come at the cost of Amon-Ra St. Brown, which is very hard to believe because he's just really that good.
Yeah.
Or it's going to be aberrational is the wrong word. It's going to be outliers. It's going to be 50-yard touchdowns. It's going to be these things that are unsustainable. And in which case I'd move him anyway. So yeah, I really do think if you can get LaPorta value for LaPorta, like if you could find a rebuilding team or a team that's retooling for next year that thinks this is just a weird thing, I would absolutely sell LaPorta if you can. But I'm still in on St. Brown. I think he's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
let's move on to at Tacit Assassin 13. Oh, there's a lot of stuff here. All right. I want to know, what is Jake's favorite parody that he's ever done?
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Ever? My favorite that comes to mind, at least, is I did a Creed Aaron Rodgers parody, which I thought was fun. And we certainly know that guy can take a joke. So if he did see it, he'd have no issues with it at all. No, I think that was fun because I did the instrumentation for it too. And anytime you can hit those Scott Stapp vocals or try to, at least, that's just a fun time, man. That's a fun, fun time. Non-musical though, I'll go with my Schitt's Creek parody. That was a good one.
Yes. I know that all of them are fun and each of them have things that make them special, but which is the one? I make it no secret that I greatly enjoy all of the content you create, because usually I reply with them letting them know how much I love you. But the Sail Away that you did, the found my ex-boss forwarded it to me on TikTok. And my ex-boss doesn't watch football, doesn't play fantasy, but somehow made it to her timeline, and she still felt the need to send it to me. And I just start hysterically laughing, and I'm like, I love that you sent this to me so much, because I love this human being who made this video. And that's my friend. And the fact that he made it to your timeline just makes me so happy for him, because
that's
that means
wonderful.
It's, you know, he's finding his way into the world, and like just that
out of our weird bubble that we have here.
It's not just us, yeah.
That's awesome. Well, that's great. That was a fun one to make too. I like anything where I can put on a wig. You know what? Halloween is year round in this household.
Yes, like you make these intense faces, and it just like makes me smile every time. It's so great.
Oh, I appreciate that.
We need more of the Trowbridge extended universe, Herms is saying. Ooh. Which means you need to start doing song crossovers.
I'm probably working with Disney, I guess. They've got that TM. Anything extended universe, you gotta go through Walt and company now, I think.
You don't want to do that. That's not something you want to deal with. That's a dangerous path. Let's move back to football. The Patriots are incredibly close to being a dominant offense again, needing just 5 offensive linemen, 3 wide receivers, a tight end, and a running back to complete the puzzle. Does this make Drake May a buy? He is QB8 over the past 2 weeks, averaging about 21 points per game. Jake, what were your feelings about Drake May coming into the year, and what are your feelings about actually after seeing him actually get some NFL action?
Very heartened by the fact that he actually managed to look as good as he has with the dearth of real weapons on that team and protection on that team. So I was relatively high on him coming into the season. Not like I was like, that's my dude, but I was completely fine with drafting him and did in a couple of dynasty leagues, traded for him right before he started. Probably gave up too much. I did give up Nico Collins to get him and Adonai Mitchell, which is not looking good on that side of things. But in a super flex league, I feel like it's eventually what I would have had to give up for Drake May anyways. But I'm impressed. And DeMario Douglas is something.
Yes.
That's about what I got to say on the offensive weapons thing. So as they accumulate those guys, and maybe they will find a way to trade for, you know, one of these wayward wide receivers happens to be out there. I don't know.
I'm terrified of T. Higgins in red, white, and blue. I don't want it to happen, and I still feel like it's going to happen.
And it would be so amazing for Drake May to have any semblance of there might not be a true alpha that's going to go there, but even to your earlier point, if he got somebody like Devontae Smith on his team, like that alone would be a massive, massive upgrade for Drake May. So, yeah, I'm certainly all in.
Yeah, I think he is a buy. I've been surprised by just how good he's been with that team, as Zach points out, that needs a lot of pieces around the quarterback that it doesn't have right now. I did not think he was going to be this good this early. And it's certainly, I'm sure, there's going to be some valleys here after this early, early good start. But I had him as my QB3 coming out. I think everyone had kind of Williams Daniels 1-2, and I know I kind of looked at him as a top 5-ish rookie pick guy, and I know he was falling to like 8, 9, 10 in drafts by the time, you know, drafts rolled around. He was taken by the Patriots. McCarthy was going ahead of him in a lot of leagues. I always did like him a little more than McCarthy. Actually, considerably more than McCarthy, but yeah. So I don't think this is necessarily these couple games that boosted his value a ton at this point. So yeah, I haven't really seen any Drake May trades go down, but I definitely think he's worth a buy. Yes.
I mean, you're gonna have to pay more than like. Are you willing to pay 225 first to go get Drake May right now?
Probably not. I'd pay more than a first, but I don't know if I'd pay two.
Because even if, like, let's pretend we are drafting our 2024 draft right now at the 108, you're not getting that pick for a 25 first. Probably not even a 25 first and second, which means you're probably paying 225 first to get that draft pick anyway.
I'd do it. I would do it. Because I don't have a ton of confidence in this 2025 draft class to begin with, and I feel like...
Especially quarterback.
Yeah, so I feel like it's going to be spotty there. So, like, if you are in a position where, hey, I've only got one really solid quarterback on my dynasty team and I want to look to add that second guy, I'd give up those two first and I'd feel fine with it for him.
Yeah, and to get super specific on you, if you're a rebuilding team and you have, like, five firsts and you can throw, like, a mid and a late first to go get Drake May, I think you absolutely do that for exactly what both these guys just said. The QB class coming in apparently is better than it was a couple of months ago, but still not great. Like, yeah. I do think at this point, Drake May is probably still better than the rest of the QBs that are coming in next year. You know, if that ends up being like the pick that would have been Tet McMillan, I'd probably cry because I love me some gigantic wide receivers, but still quarterbacks, super flex quarterbacks. I agree with what everything they said. So I'm not going to bother reiterating all of that. And I asked, what's your favorite song, your favorite band and artist, and what's a concert you wish you could go to, whether realistic or not? He says, my favorite song of all time is Walk by Pantera, but sung by his son, Caleb. Awesome. I knew when I saw that his song was Walk, I knew he was cheating because he came home one day and his 11-year-old was just like, Dad, I found this song and I love it and I need to play it for you. And then just and I'm just like, oh my God, your heart must have been going nuts. Like, I would not have expected Pantera from that sentence. Like,
amazing.
Yes. I can't narrow down a favorite band, although I've been listening to the Headlocks a lot recently. Shout out to Frank Duffy. Concert. You know them?
No, just a great band name.
Oh, the Headlocks. Yeah. Scrubs is such a good TV show. I forgot context of the conversation, but someone says, oh yeah, like my grandma died in a 7-car pileup, and JD goes, that's a great name for a band. She's like, yeah, I thought so too when you said that at her funeral.
Incredible.
Like, that's what pops in my head every time someone goes, that's a good name for a band. That and Parks and Rec, where they just changed their name 17 years.
Now we're scrotation marks.
Anyway, and I'm of course doing the hands down, and it's an audio podcast. concert I'd love to see: Dylan Unleash Electricity on Newport Folk Festival in 65. We'll ask ours, you know, afterwards. Even though I know Rocky's is just going to be Billy Joel anyway.
You don't ask me. Everybody does.
if there were, never mind. I love Rocky. at Messy Method. I wish I could have seen Chris Ledoux live, LEDOUX. I don't know who that is. He's a big Stained and Aaron Lewis fan. Only thing I could think of when you said realistic or not was the SpongeBob concert. Hey, man, that counts. It's not realistic, but it's still a concert if that's what you're into. I'm sure Tom Kenny's got nothing better going on. As a contender, how much are we spending on Tank Bigsby right now? Would you give up a second for Bigsby with even what you're feeling right now, Rocky?
Yeah, I would give up a second. I might even give up a little more than a second.
I mean, that's really, I think, a second and a third, I feel like, is what a realistic expectation has to be for a return on Tank Bigsby right now. Like,
yeah, I think so.
Jake, you don't think anyone's expecting a first for Tank. Are you expecting a first for Tank?
I hope not, because I ain't even giving up that second. I clearly just out on Tank Bigsby based on that value, which I do think is accurate. Like, I think you'd have to give up that second at least, but I ain't doing it.
Nope. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be better if it was a mid to contending second, but yeah.
Okay, real quick, Herms in the chat. Favorite band is the Gaslight Anthem. I never would have expected that. They're solid. They really are. Favorite song changes a lot. Show I'd love to see is coming true because I scored Oasis tickets for next summer at NYC. My friend got them also. He waited in virtual line and overpaid for his tickets. And he had an Oasis poster the size of the wall of his room when we were in middle school. Like this kid was an Oasis fan from the beginning. So I'm so happy for him. And he asked me if I wanted to go. And I said, oh, God, not for that much. I don't.
That's amazing. Can we treat this like a dynasty question, though, real quick? Because, A, what are the odds that they stick together long enough to be at the show for the ticket? So is this the time maybe to trade high, sell high on those tickets while you can? To get the most return. I don't know. I'm just asking.
Look, just put a wig on someone and they'll look like a Gallagher. Even if it's not really them, we'll never know the difference. Which we wouldn't know which if that's really Noel Gallagher. He just plays the guitar.
That's true. Mail me the wig, Noel. There you go.
It'll
be fine. Again, I'm a big wig guy. We've already talked about this.
If you pull them off, that's the important part.
Thanks.
All right. Last question. At Too Much Brian. 0.5 PPR Superflex, tight end premium dynasty. We start one running back, three wide receivers, one flex, and three wide receiver running back flex. I guess that one flex is supposed to be the Superflex. My team is solid, but with a deep starting roster, I need a couple more players for injury and bye weeks. What are some targets? Man, you didn't need to say all that stuff. Just say, what are some targets I can get with my first or second? What are some players you're looking around right now saying, I'm a competing team. I have my first. I want to make that push. What are some players you're going after right now? I mean, we've talked about Terry McLaurin being up there. I think, again, I don't want to give my first for Amari Cooper, but I would easily give 2 seconds for him. I don't think there's any surprise names. That's the real problem with this. Like, I think all the names, even though there was movement from Davante Adams and Amari Cooper going to different teams, I don't think their values change, but they're still... I know week one was a little rough for Adams, but still don't care. He's that talented where if I can get him for a second or two, I'd probably do it also. I like Nick Chubb. I would give up a second for Nick Chubb right now. I don't think you need to give a, you don't need to give a first for him anymore. So I wish I had a more insightful answer. Does anyone have any like fun names to throw out?
I don't really have anything fun or insightful, but what I would also throw in another guy we talked about in this podcast, which is I would throw out a contending first for Kittle and tight end premium.
Yes, in the tight end premium league, Kittle. Jake, you said Debo, you'd be down on. Yeah, well, down four.
Down four, up on, trying to get Debo. Also, how do we feel about Rashad Bateman these days? He's kind of an interesting guy that I've been impressed. I was so skeptical of, you know, the another breakout year on the horizon for Rashad Bateman, but it kind of looks like he is breaking out. And I know as a contender, that's not a name that you think of right away, but I think he's flying under the radar. I absolutely think you could get him for a second still.
Oh,
you might be able to get probably more on top of that coming back. Like if you did a second, third pick swap and got Bateman in it, I think that that's a feasible thing to do. And he is young and he's not always going to have the game that he just had, but he's honestly been fairly consistent this year.
The last 3 weeks, I'm going to be lazy and round. He got 16, 11 and 22. That's pretty good. That's definitely better than I would have thought.
Yeah. One other guy that's not sexy, but I thought of that I think is underrated. I think it's probably maybe more than a second, but less than a first, is David Montgomery.
Yes, especially after getting that extension. Yes.
Yeah, and what we were saying earlier about their pass attempts are down, they're getting the running back so involved. I was just looking in TA, he's had, up until this past week where he had just the first real down week, he's had at least 15 points in every single game.
Yeah, and he did get hurt during the game, so his stats are low iffy because of that. And then he adds to ask, also, why is Mulan a Disney princess? Her parents weren't royalty. They didn't rule over. And I changed that last word to anything. So what's really, really... So in the end of the movie Mulan, she ends up with the general. In the real ending of Mulan, she ends up the emperor's concubine, which I think makes her closer to royalty than the actual ending to the cartoon. It's really funny. It was yesterday I was asking this same question. Like, Mulan legitimately isn't a Disney princess, should not be a Disney princess, but she is. I'm not sad about it because I love Mulan. I love the movie. I Dishonor on your cow all day. Like, I mean, but by strict, not even that strict of a definition, she shouldn't be a Disney princess.
I didn't know the real ending to the Mulan story, by the way.
I did not either.
Thank you for forcing that upon me. But
you want to go into the rest of them? You know the
no, no, please, no, not at all. Little Mermaid. I mean, let's just be honest. She's flopping out on a beach somewhere. She's It's not even. Don't
tell Jake about Pocahontas either.
I don't want to know any of these real things. Stop ruining my youth.
But I do love that she is considered a Disney princess, because now we have a Disney princess with like a 2,000 body count because she killed some people.
That's true.
All right, so let's ask Jake, at least. What is your favorite band, your favorite song? And if you can go to any concert, real or imaginary, or my real point of asking real or realistic or not is more like you can go into the past and see something like... Because that's really where my mind always goes. Like, because there's nothing nowadays I would really kill to go see, but there's some stuff from before me.
I would have killed to have seen Prince at some point. So that feels like a real missed opportunity for all my older siblings who could have been cool and, I don't know, taken me to a Prince concert when I was like 10. But if we're going with it a live band, I'm like an alternative kind of, but not like heavy alternative guy. I'm kind of like a dorky alternative guy. I love Jimmy Eat World. That's a great band. I'd go see them any day, anytime. Favorite song is Everlong by Foo Fighters. That's my wife and I's like song. Yes. My first tattoo that I'm going to get is that. So we'll see. We'll see when.
Let's go right after here. After the show, I'll come up. You come to New Jersey. Beautiful. It'll be on me.
Perfect.
Well, the tattoo will be on me, not the cost of the trip.
Perfect.
So, like, I don't really have a favorite band or a favorite song, but the concerts I wish I could go to is, well, yes, Prince is absolutely up there also, but, like, prime Queen. Like, I would say Live Aid, but that would be too short. Like, I want to go to a full Queen concert. And prime, like, The Who. I think, like, I was sitting here trying to figure out whether it'd be The Who or Zeppelin. And for some reason, I just like, no, The Who. Like, to me, like, that's prime great music. Like, I'm absolutely one of those people where, like, nowadays it all just sort of sounds the same.
you want to see that windmill guitar action live in person. The drummer might light a set on fire. That's a thing that they were known for, right? I feel like,
maybe. Sure. Give me AC/DC where Angus Young is like scraping his back on the ground as he's playing a ridiculous solo. Though I was never that. Like, AC/DC was always a lot of fun, but like that's what they were to me. They weren't that. They're pretty good.
They're Australian. Leave them alone.
The best they could do. I'm sorry, Australians. I love you all. All right, but on that note, that's the end of our show sheet. So that's the end of our show. Thank you, Jake, so much for coming on. And again, it's short, it was short notice. I think it was Friday where I'm like, hey, friend, you got some.
I was happy to do it. Happy to be here anytime.
Thanks. That makes me happy. And before you do get out of here, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
I'm Jake Trowbridge. You can find me at Jake Trowbridge on Twitter, and then just search, I guess, on Instagram. I don't know what that handle is. And then check out @MB Fantasy Life, also on Twitter, also on TikTok. And you can find all my videos and live streams over there.
Yes, and you should do that because he's good at this stuff. He's good at it. He's good at it. And our stuff, what do I have? Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can come hang out with us while we record, be in the chat, give us the answers to the questions, ask some questions, all that fun stuff. And we have our awesome Cool Kids Club, our Discord chat. And besides that, it's all about Fantasy Cares. I dropped it at some point during our conversation on Wednesdays. Zach Reed and I on the Fantasy Cares YouTube channel hang out at 9:30 on Wednesday, 9:30 Eastern time for an hour and a half, depending on if I'm falling asleep or not. That's really all it comes down to. Do we have something to talk about and how sleepy am I? Other than that, it's fantasycares.org/NBCF for National Breast Cancer Foundation. It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and every dollar that comes into that campaign, up to $5,000 will be matched by Fantasy Cares by the end of the month. So go and do that. fantasycares.org/NBCF. And Bob Gilchrist right now jumping into the chat saying a first and second for Henry. You know what? When you're offering trades, look at the team and their situation to see if it's worthwhile, because my team is 3-4, but I have the second most points in the league, and our sixth seed goes to most points. So I'm in the playoffs. So I'm not selling Henry for picks, Bob. And I put that in the group chat this morning, Bob. So knock it off, Bob. Love you, Bob. All right. Night, everybody.
Night, Russ.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Pod, a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.